Congregation, please stand and turn to face the processional cross as we sing our opening hymn, How Great Thou Art.
Thank you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
In holy baptism, Melvin Thurr was clothed with the robe of Christ's righteousness that covered all his sin. St. Paul says, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his." Congregation may be seated. Our psalmody for this day, Psalm 46, spoken responsively. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling.
There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High.
God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns.
The nations rage, the kingdoms totter, he utters his voice, the earth melts.
The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress.
Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth.
He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire.
Be still, and alone that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth.
The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our fortress. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Lord, have mercy upon us.
Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God of grace and mercy, we give thanks for your loving kindness shown to Melvin and to all your servants, who, having finished their course in faith, now rest from their labors. Grant that we also may be faithful unto death and receive the crown of eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Our Old Testament lesson for this day, and all these readings were chosen by Mel as he prepared for this day for us to look towards our Savior alone in times such as this. Our Old Testament reading from the 25th chapter of Isaiah, reading verses 6 through 9. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well refined. And he will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, "Behold, this is our God. We have waited for him that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We sing stanzas 1, 4, 5, and 6 of the hymn, "Just As I Am," without one plea. The epistle is from the fourth chapter of Ephesians, reading verses 11 through 16. And God gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We sing selected verses from the hymn, I Know That My Redeemer Lives. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 11th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
God has made us his people through our baptism into Christ. Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated as we sing our sermon hymn today. This hymn, I Am Trusting Thee, Lord Jesus. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto all of you from God our Heavenly Father and from our risen and living Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text that Melvin chose for this day to be his funeral text was also the text that he received on the day of his confirmation. On March the 20th, 1951, at Zion Lutheran Church in Granton, Wisconsin, spoken over his head by the Reverend Oswald. And it was again used as a text for a certain wedding that took place on June the 10th, 1961, with the former Mary Lou Falsing. And then not quite 2 years ago, on Mel and Mary Lou's 50th wedding anniversary, the banner that is directly behind me hanging on this wall was made for them with this text from Proverbs, the third chapter, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. This is God's holy word from the Old Testament. And my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, before I begin today, I certainly want to welcome all of you here to Peace, the friends and members of our congregation, friends of our neighboring churches in our South Wisconsin district, our brother clergy, brother pastors, and President Willie, who is with us today, honoring this departed veteran of the cross. Also speak a word of sympathy from Pastor Brad Felix, who serves as a vicar here, one of our vicars several years ago, and which Pastor Mel had ordained, I believe, as well. But today, of course, most especially to you, dear family, Mary Lou, and immediate members of the family, Paul, Lois, John, and Becky, grandchildren, and of course, dear relatives. Melvin Thurr was a faithful servant of God. All of us here in the sanctuary know that quite well, don't we? You know, I had the privilege of meeting Mel when I came to visit Peace back in December of 2007 as I was considering the call to be its pastor. Pastor Mel had served as the pastor in residence here while Peace was under a vacancy. By the way, it was the second vacancy within 2 years, if not less. It was exciting for me to know that then, having accepted the call to be Peace's pastor, that I would have a retired pastor as a member of my congregation in my midst, because then I knew that I had someone not only to talk to or to ask questions about and getting some more information on the congregation, but also one who was very willing to serve, even in his retirement. And serve he did. Serve he did. You know what he had done here as far as a servant of God. He taught Bible classes. He led the men's club. He led men's ministry. He was part of the small group ministry here at Peace. The planning of activities that went on here. The list can go on and on. Indeed, Melvin Thurr led a very, very active life in serving the Savior. And by the way, even with all of his declining health, up to last Sunday, he was still teaching Bible study. He was a pastor to the very end, a pastor indeed. But for you, dear family, he was more than just a pastor, wasn't he? In fact, Mel had three main vocations, and I would argue that two of those vocations were even more important than his vocation as a pastor. He was a husband. He was your father. He was a brother. And yes, he indeed was a faithful citizen of this country. He was also a faithful member of our congregation. And most recently, within the last several years, he became a vocation of being a grandfather. But in each one of those vocations, Mel was a faithful servant of the Savior, to whom today we give thanks and praise to our Lord and God. That being said, and I know Mel would have wanted this, I know we talked about this in preparation for this day, Melvin would want us to talk about him, not glorifying in Melvin Thurr. In fact, just as our worship bulletin says today, this service is a service of praise and thanksgiving to the Savior, who has received all glory, honor, and praise for all the things that our Lord did through Melvin's life. In fact, it is the Savior whom Mel uplifted during his ministry in serving God's people and in serving you, his dear family. Today it is that same Savior we uplift and look to for strength, for comfort, and guidance as we go forward, as what Mel desired as he prepared this service for us today to the glory of our Lord. Let's get to our text. Text that is our focus, that was very near and dear to Mel, and of course to you as well, Mary Lou, is one that is really a divine directive for life, for God's people. A directive that's given by our good and gracious God to the people that he has called to be his own people through Jesus, our Savior. A wonderful word of instruction given to us by God himself. So may our Lord and our Savior grant us today, in these minutes, we listen to what our Lord has to say to us in regards to this divine directive for life. So what does our text say? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. First thing we would say in this text is that it is a call for us to be content in God's care. Many of you know the book of Proverbs and what it talks about, a lot of good common sense words that Solomon writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And what it basically falls down to is this: when you follow the Lord, you follow his way, your life is indeed a blessed one. The Lord leads you, the guides you, and he directs you. But if you go your own way apart from the Lord, that's where the problems begin, and you find out that you get into a hole that you can't get yourself out of, most definitely. Just look at the history of the people of Israel, God's people, how they were called to be a blessing, to others, and yet they followed the ways of the other gods of the other nations, forsaking the one true God that they had come to know, following the desires of their own hearts rather than the desire of what the Lord wanted for them. And because of their disobedience, we know what happened. They fell into slavery. They fell into despair. Their land was lost, and there seemingly was no hope. And even Solomon, as we know, sadly forsook the Lord and went his own way. He married wives of the other nations who followed these false gods, in which he became a follower of as well. But here he says, trust in the Lord and lean not on your own understanding. To trust, as the word in the Hebrew would have it, simply means to put all your weight on the Lord without any reservation. You know what that's like? When you go to bed at night, you trust that that mattress is going to hold your body. You don't think about it. You know it's going to do it. Indeed, that's exactly what our Lord desires of his people, to put our trust in him without reservation. Why? Because of who our God is and what he says he is in the Word of God. He's the faithful one who never disappoints us, the faithful one who's always upholding us, even in our worst of moments. He's the one who will take care of you and be with you, even when there are times where it seems like there is no hope whatsoever. I'm sure there were times, dear family, where that truth came into play during your lives and children as you grew up in a household of a pastor and congregations that your dad served. Because as pastors know, that serving God's people is not always an easy task. No, there are challenges, there's hardships to go with the joys of ministry. And the devil is right there, we know, in trying to disrupt and to disappoint those closest to the Lord. He works on pastors and pastors' families the most, doesn't he? Being a disciple of Jesus, our Savior, is not easy for anyone, in fact. None of you here today who put your trust in the Lord know, you know as well how many times Satan would want to disrupt your life and your relationship with Christ. But listen to what Solomon says. You can trust the Lord to guide and direct because he is the faithful one. And he says, do this without leaning on your own understanding. Isn't it that interesting that he says that? Not leaning on your own understanding. You know that. We may not always understand why things are as they are. And maybe you had a hard time understanding why did your husband, your dad, have to go through this health issue that he had these last couple of years, declining in his health. He was a faithful pastor, after all. Why doesn't he just have the blessings of life? Why did he have to give up things he enjoyed to do, like golfing and singing in the choir, and then most recently giving up teaching Bible study? He loved teaching God's Word. Why would the Lord let that happen? The Lord says, lean not on your own understanding. See, the Lord used it for good, didn't he? Because the Lord showed once again that whatever Mel did was because of the grace of God, God's grace in the midst of suffering, even up to his last dying day. God's grace showed forth, and God is praised for what he did. You heard that misunderstanding, if you will, in the gospel reading. Martha didn't understand why Jesus hadn't come sooner. He could have healed Lazarus. He could have made him well. But Jesus had a better plan in mind, didn't he? He was going to show forth who he himself was, the resurrection and the life. And all who would see that would know that Jesus is that one, that he is the Lord, he is the Savior, and they would rejoice in that wonderful thing. Friends in Christ, we are in God's care right now, aren't we, as we walk in this world. And one day Jesus himself will return to wake Mel and all the dead in Christ to eternal life. Even as Mel rests in the arms of his Savior today, his body will too one day. Trust the Lord, lean on him your whole life. And then secondly, we are called here in our text to be comforted by God's will. Solomon says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. You see, for Mel, acknowledging the Lord was more than simply just lip service. Oh yeah, I believe in God, I believe in Jesus, that's fine. No, the Lord was with him, wasn't he? The Lord meant more than that. He was in his life from the day he was baptized into Christ until the day he was called to our Lord in heaven. In fact, you as a family went to the Lord many times, I am very sure, in both minor decisions you had to make and major decisions you had to make. Indeed, you came to know about a Savior who truly loved you so much that he went to the cross for your salvation and have life to the full. The will of the Lord was that you would come to know that and that you would come close to the Lord and not just merely giving him lip service, but also to devote your whole lives to Christ, our Savior. In fact, that's the will God, the will of our Lord wants for all of us, doesn't he? Wants us to be close to him. He wants us to put our whole trust in our whole lives in him. As congregations, when we may go through major decisions, or as individual families, as we have difficult times. Mel witnessed that truth to the congregations he served, but he witnessed it to you most especially, dear family. You saw it in him, and that you will have for the rest of your life, that example that was set. Well, some of you might be saying, well, why not? Mel was a pastor. Pastors do that sort of thing. They bring their families up in the Lord, and guess what? Those pastors' families have it easy. They got it made. Work one day a week. But you fail to see, my friends, that it isn't the job of the pastor to, what you would say, point others to the Savior. Did you hear what our epistle reading said, what Mel chose for that? The job of pastors and all those who serve the Lord is to equip the saints for ministry. You have a ministry. You have a vocation. You have an opportunity to tell people about Jesus Christ in your daily lives, places that we may never get to. That's what Melvin did as a servant of God, to the glory of God. And yes, why also we get close to the Lord and point others to Jesus? Because we know on a day such as this, if we try to hold ourselves up, we know that our day is coming as well. The day of our death is drawing near. The day of our Lord's return is drawing near. And even though this world continues to be more chaotic and more destructive, yet we know that Jesus has made a promise that death itself is defeated. He's coming again, and those who believe and trust in him will have eternal life. They will be with him forever. And until that day comes, he will direct us and carry us through. Again, the Hebrew word for the word direct has with it the sense of clearing a path, to clear a way through. Who's clearing the way through for you? It's the Lord. It's not you. It's the Lord God, the Savior, opening that door for you, opening those ways to share Christ with others so that they may too know of why we have real hope in Christ. Today we can say with confidence that the Lord God directed the paths of Mel Thur not because he was a faithful pastor, not because he was a faithful husband and father, not because he did so many things in serving his Savior. No, it was all done because of God's rich and abundant grace and mercy. Jesus Christ alone today and every day receives all the glory and all the credit. Because, you see, he works through you and me as well to be his people, to serve him, to accomplish the purposes that he has set before us, to give him thanks and praise. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. God is faithful, and he indeed will do it. The Lord be with you, dear family, now and always, to his glory. Amen. And now may the peace of God that surpasses our human understanding guard your hearts and your minds through faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We sing the hymn of response, Jesus, Savior, Pilot Me, hymn number 715, printed on page 10.
Oh.
Please stand for the prayer of the church. Let us pray to the Lord, our God and Father, who raised Jesus from the dead. Almighty God, you have knit your chosen people together into one communion in the mystical body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Give to your whole church in heaven and on earth your light and peace. Lord, in your mercy, grant that all who have been baptized into Christ's death and resurrection may die to sin and rise to newness of life, and so pass with him through the gate of death and the grave to our joyful resurrection. Lord, in your mercy, grant that all who have been nourished by the holy body and blood of your Son may be raised to immortality and incorruption to be seated with him at your heavenly banquet. Lord, in your mercy, give to the family of Melvin and to all who mourn comfort in their grief and a sure confidence in your loving care, that casting all their sorrow on you, they may know the consolation of your love. Lord, in your mercy, give courage and faith to the bereaved, that within the communion of your church they may have strength to meet the days ahead in the assurance of a holy and certain hope and in the joyful expectation of eternal life with those they love who have departed in the faith. Lord, in your mercy, help us, we pray, in the midst of things we cannot understand, to believe and find comfort in the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Lord, in your mercy, we thank you for Melvin, who faithfully shepherded your flock here on earth. Grant that we too may be faithful unto death and receive the crown of life. Lord, in your mercy, O God of all grace, you sent your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, to bring life and immortality to light. We give you thanks that by his death he destroyed the power of death, and by his resurrection he opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers. Strengthen us in the confidence that because he lives, we shall live also, and that neither death nor life, nor things present nor things to come, will be able to separate us from your love, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Taught by our Lord and trusting in his promises, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. I am the resurrection and the life, says the Lord. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Lord, now you let your servant go in peace. Your word has been fulfilled. My own eyes have seen the salvation which you have prepared in the sight of every people, a light to reveal you to the nations and the glory of your people Israel. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. I am the resurrection and the life, says the Lord. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord God, our shepherd, you gather the lambs of your flock into the arms of your mercy and bring them home. Comfort us with the certain hope of the resurrection to everlasting life and a joyful reunion with those we love who have died in the faith. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.
Let us go forth in peace.
In the name of the Lord. Amen.
Congregation, please be seated. Before we sing our recessional hymn, Amazing Grace, I'd like to ask President Willie to come forward for some words for the family.
Mary Lou, family, children, sons and daughters, grandchildren, friends, family, brothers in the holy ministry. The psalmist says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. As we heard from the very fine, excellent message from Pastor Wenzel this afternoon, those words are especially true of Mel. We give thanks for 50 years of ministry. We just had pastor's conference Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of this week, and I know Pastor Wenzel delivered that little celebration gift, giving thanks for those 50 years. I think it was the evening before he died. So I'm glad Mel got to see that. 50 years of pastoral ministry is certainly something to give thanks for, something to celebrate, and we give thanks for the way in which you've stood by him all these years in his pastoral office, and you understand what it means to live in a parsonage as children. I grew up in one too, so I know what that means. Good times, bad, ups and downs. Thank you. We celebrate his life. We especially give thanks to our great God for 50 years of law and gospel ministry, proclamation of the risen Savior, who now he stands with in glory. Thank you. Take your comfort from the words, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints, and this is one of them.
Thank you, President Willie. And now we will sing the recessional hymn, and when we come to the third stanza of the hymn, please stand as the cross will then recess out and follow the cross on its way out, and also out of respect for the family. We will then be going to the Highland Memory Garden Cemetery for committal, and then after that we'll return to the church for a lunch, and we certainly invite all of you to either come back to the church for that, or if you are not going to the cemetery, to go downstairs in our fellowship hall waiting for the family to return for the meal and time of fellowship. We sing Amazing Grace.